From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Sunnyvale down by Great America.
Sunset District.
In between Cupertino and Saratoga.
San Jose.
Coming up, we'll be joined by KALW's own Rose Aguilar to talk about people fighting for civil rights all over the Bay. First, we'll spend a day on the street with a professional canvasser.
This job is as much about self-preservation as anything else.
Then we'll take to the streets with an artist whose work memorializes black and brown people who've been killed by police.
These people matter, the people that are being portrayed in these designs.
And we'll meet a community trying to fight homophobia from behind the bars of San Quentin.
Why worry about who they're sleeping with? Because other than that, they're just individuals, they're just people.
The modern day fight for civil rights, and Rose Aguilar with us in studio on this special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. Welcome back to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area. I'm Hannah Baba, and today I'm joined by our own Rose Aguilar, host of Your Call, our morning call-in show here on KALW. Hey, Rose.
Hi, Hannah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You don't stay this long in the studio, so thank you for being here in the afternoon.
Of course.
So today we are talking about civil rights. But when people think of civil rights, their mind sometimes goes back to the civil rights era and the 50s and the 60s. But today we're talking about today's civil rights struggles, which are very much there, very much alive. We're going to talk about many activists who are doing good work today, not just historically. You have a lot of guests on your show that fit that description. Many times, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
So how do you pick your guests on your show? Well, let's start with the topics. Let's get a little behind the scenes of Your Call. How do you determine what topics to cover? Because there are so many that are clearly dear to your heart as well. How do you balance that, and how do you pick?
Well, we are all news junkies. We read a lot, and you're right, we come to the table with so many ideas. Every Monday or Tuesday, we have an editorial meeting, and we bring ideas to the table, and we decide what would be the best conversation that listeners can get involved with. So there always has to be a question for the listener, because what I think makes Your Call such a special show is that we hear from so many members of the community, and they bring in their own personal stories. They talk about what it's like at work for them. They talk about what it was like as a child. I mean, so many amazing stories. And so we think about that, and then we vote. So it's a very democratic process. It's
simple,
actually.
How many people are on the team?
There's, let's see, Malihe Raz is on, senior producer, Laura Flynn, producer, Rosalie Atkinson is our intern and fill-in producer, and Matt Martin, the executive producer of Your Call and GM. And so there's five of us.
All right. Yeah. Well, and then so you kind of you decide on the topic. You have your calendar back there. We see it also with kind of the subjects that you're going to be covering. How do you determine what guests then you have on to talk about certain things?
Well, what we like to do is really bring in a wide range. So some shows, if you did a show, for example, about minimum wage, you'd bring in the person who wrote the book or wrote the study, which is really important. But we always say, in addition to that person, let's bring on people who actually make minimum wage. Or if we're talking about sweatshop workers, let's try to bring in someone who has worked in a sweatshop. If we do a show about foreign policy, like Syria or Iraq or Afghanistan or, let's say, the Congo, we want to bring someone who's from that area. The thing that drives me kind of crazy sometimes is it's always Americans talking about foreign policy. And we always say, what about people who live in Syria or who are from there? So we like to bring on those voices. And the other thing I love is to bring on people who've never been on the radio before.
Why?
Because it's exciting. You never know where it's going to go. And KALW is such a great place for that. Maybe some other stations might not want to do that because you don't know what's going to happen. People freeze
up. It's a live show.
It's a live show. They might feel really uncomfortable and nervous, but it's our job before the show to make them comfortable. And I always sort of pretend like, you know, we're just at a tea house. We're having a conversation. Just be real. You know, we want to know what you're thinking. We're going to have calls. It's just a nice conversation. And even if it's a serious topic, it's so important.
And they're often very serious.
They're often pretty serious.
Well, we're going to chat some more throughout today's show.
Okay.
Stay right there. And we're just 3 weeks away from the California primary. And especially in an election season, it can seem like everywhere you turn, there's a person on the sidewalk with a clipboard and a cause. Most of us just spend a few minutes with them, maybe, if we stop at all. But what's it like to be the person doing the asking all day, every day? Casey Miner and Raja Shah tell us more in this episode of The Specialist.
How's it going, my fine friends? Talk to me about dismantling racism with feminist hip-hop.
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Hello, amazing humans. Let's talk about fighting racism with feminist hip-hop.
That's today.
60 seconds.
Sorry.
Come back later. I'm here all day. This job is as much about self-preservation as anything else, like feeling good about yourself as a human being, despite a lot of rejection.
I'm Casey Miner, and this is The Specialist.
Come fight racism with me.
I met Joanna Holden on a San Francisco street corner. She spotted my tote bag and yelled, "Hey, K-A-L-W.
Bring it in, sister."
Now, I do not talk to sidewalk canvassers.
60 seconds for local activism.
But Joanna was charming.
Come fight racism with me. I'm great.
I've been thinking about people like her a lot, actually. Like, who are they? How can they do this thankless job? So I said, "Hey, you know what? I don't have a minute for your cause, but do you have a minute for my podcast?" So I got her email address and sent a text message. Canvasser spotted.
It was my own personal bat signal.
This is Raja Shah, fellow reporter and street canvasser obsessive.
I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with canvassers. I think it's more like fascinated. Not just with who they are, but with what they represent.
Say more.
Well, each of us, whether we're aware of it or not, we spend lots of emotional energy putting people into categories. Friend, family, coworker, stranger, someone who's like you or someone who's different. But a street canvasser, someone like Joanna, where do you put her? You've never met her before, but she wants to get right up close to you.
Ooh. Want to fight racism with me, sister?
She wants your time, your enthusiasm, and of course, your money. You have to decide on the spot, what are you going to give her?
Isn't it such an interesting, like, look at humanity?
It is, and that's why I wanted to spend a day watching her work.
So we're off?
We're off. Joanna's day starts at 10:15 a.m. She'll split it into four quarters, and by 5 o'clock, she needs to make $185, which covers her salary and the organization's programs.
This is a really solid corner. I've worked here many a time.
We're in an upscale neighborhood in San Francisco. $8 milkshakes, artisanal cheese shop, that kind of thing.
Hey, sister, come fight racism with me.
The crowd around here is mostly white, mostly in their 30s and 40s. A lot of people are headed to work on the train that stops here every few minutes. You're going to hear that train a lot.
That sounds loud.
The train is not so good for my recording, but it can be great for Joanna's work because every few minutes, another one arrives and releases a new wave of foot traffic, potential marks.
Hey there. Want to talk about hip-hop and social justice?
Joanna works for an organization called Hip Hop for Change, which is all about using music as a force for social justice. The money she's hoping to raise will go towards running workshops for kids from poor and marginalized backgrounds. And here's obstacle number one. The people she's asking for that money can't necessarily relate.
These neighborhoods are very idyllic, very pristine, very beautiful. So we kind of bring a slice of that reality to them. Hello, excellent human beings. Talk with me about fighting racism. 60 seconds.
Joanna's rooted in the middle of the sidewalk. The train pulls in, and as this blob of people approaches us, she starts picking out specific faces in the crowd.
Hello, fantastic humans with dogs. Let's use feminist hip-hop to fight racism. 60 seconds.
Some people politely decline.
Talk with me about ending racism.
No, thank you.
Okay.
Others walk by in total silence. This guy's on his cell phone.
Call them back, we're fighting racism.
This lady's pushing a stroller.
60 seconds, babies are into it.
And then there's this guy.
Uh-oh, he was distracted and walked into a pole. Poor guy.
And then this guy.
Hi, talk with me about fighting racism. 60 seconds.
I work in this neighborhood.
Oh, you've talked to us before?
No, I haven't.
Lucky day?
No. But just remember me, because in the future, I'm not a participator.
This guy, the non-participator, leaves a mark.
Well, he used the actual phrase, "I'm not a participator."
A few minutes later, Joanna's still thinking about him.
Not a participator. You are a participator.
It's one of the only times I see a no really get to her. Otherwise, she just shakes it off. She's relentlessly positive, rejection after rejection after rejection, because there's always the next guy, or the guy after that.
God, how could she even manage that? I mean, even just hearing her make her pitch over and over again makes me tired. I can't imagine doing it day after day without just getting bored.
Or cynical.
Hey, sister, come dismantle racism with a local activist. 60 seconds. 60. Yeah. 59. I'm Joanna. What's your name?
A lot of people don't last in this job. They work for big corporate canvassing organizations, sometimes just for a day or a week. But Hip Hop for Change is a smaller organization. And this is Joanna's full-time job. She gets paid $15 an hour, the organization has a healthcare plan, and she really cares about the cause.
I know it's a little awkward to stand out here and ask for money on the street, but I do it because it's important, because these issues personally affect me as like a trans woman, you know.
So Joanna's a transgender woman. She uses the pronoun she, and she wears dresses while she works, for a reason.
I definitely think about how I'm going to dress in a way that will make me feel comfortable with how I'm being read. Because, you know.
So her gender is one reason she's really aware of how people respond to her. Her race is another. Unlike most of her coworkers, she's white. And she knows that they deal with comments and harassment that she'll never hear. That sense of injustice is what motivated her to apply to Hip Hop for Change in the first place, even though she knew she might not be a good fit.
I'm like, look, if you would rather hire person who's actually from the Bay Area hip-hop community, you should do that. But I really think my perspective would be important. And they were like, yeah, let's have you. We want you out there on the street talking about your experiences, because they're worth it.
So part of what she's doing every day is putting herself totally out there. She's almost literally saying, look at me, talk to me, stop for me.
My coworkers hear things about me that people would never say to my face. I've heard time and time again, people walk past me and then they see my coworker across the street and they're like, is that a joke? Thumbing back towards where I am standing. Something they would never say to my face, but they're eager to complain to my coworkers about having to see a trans woman in public. And I get similar remarks about my coworkers, but we look out for each other. Hey, sister. Talk to me about fighting racism with feminist hip-hop. 60 seconds.
That was producer Raja Shah and Casey Miner, and that was the first half of that story. We'll hear the second half of that in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm here today with Rose Aguilar. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Hannah.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So what did you think about that story? Could you be a canvasser?
It depends on the cause, but in my neighborhood, there's always a canvasser on the corner, usually working for an environmental organization or Planned Parenthood. And sometimes I just like to watch and see if anyone talks to the canvasser. And I usually go up and talk to the canvasser. I guess it's the reporter in me. Uh-huh. And I say, why are you doing this? What kind of responses do you get? That kind of thing. But I loved this piece because you have to, Joanna, amazing woman saying, hey, I mean, she's just having a lot of fun with it.
They said relentlessly positive.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of patience to do this kind of work. But also, she's so dedicated to the cause.
Right, right. And that's what it takes. Yeah. I mean, to stand like that hour after hour after. And she's willing to take a lot of, you know, BS as well
right.
for it. Well, hosting a live talk show can be a little tricky because, you know, you have, again, just like Joanna was meeting strangers, you have strangers calling up on your show. Can you give us a little idea of how that works and how you decide this person, okay, can come on your call?
So you have to be a multitasking queen to host a live show that's so interactive because you've got three guests sometimes in three different parts of the world. You have phone calls. You have emails. And then sometimes someone will drop or something goes on behind the scenes. And you just have to really, you have to pay attention and you have to be a really good listener. Mm. Because guest number one will say something, and then you look at your notes and you realize that someone who's calling but who's third in the queue has a direct question about what guest number one is saying. So then you say, let's take Mary because it's connected. Mary in San Francisco, go ahead. I love it. I love the process, mm-hmm. even when there's a lot of chaos going on behind the scenes.
Okay. So
sometimes
this,
people cancel. They don't show up for the interview, and you just have to run with it because we have to be live every day from 10 to 11.
And do you take all the callers?
Well, we try to take all of the callers. We don't have a tape delay, and so we don't know if people are going to
curse.
Right. Or they might tell the producer one thing and say something.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's free speech and we want everyone to be heard. And so we usually do take everyone. The one thing is, if we have someone who's never called before and we have someone who might call every day, we tend to say, all right, let's hear from the person who's never called.
Right, right.
But we'll still hear from the person who
all
calls
right,
every day. No offense if you call every day. We still love you, but...
like Eid.
Sometimes.
Eid in Berkeley. Even I know Eid in Berkeley the few times that I've hosted your call. Hey, Eid. So this is Rose Aguilar from Your Call joining me. I'm Hannah Baba. This is Cross Currents. This is our spring membership campaign, and we would like to ask for your support for this programming, for Cross Currents, for Your Call, for these voices you hear on the radio, which can only happen here. Give us a call right now at 800-525-9917, or you can go online to kalw.org, make a donation to keep local radio strong, support this program, but also Rose Aguilar's program in the morning, Your Call, with all the kinds of guests that she brings in and the incredible, important topics. And the callers, you know, if you called into Rose Aguilar's show, give us a call right now. 800-525-9917. Make a donation. Keep us going strong. We can only do this with your support. Go online, kalw.org. All right, let's get back into the streets with Joanna and see the mechanics of how she actually gets strangers to give her money to fight racism with feminist hip hop, as she says. This is the second part of an episode of the podcast, The Specialist, produced by KALW's Casey Miner and Raja Shah.
After a couple polite rejections and a bunch more blank stares, the blob yields an individual.
I'm Joanna. What's your name?
Hi, Bailey.
Hey, Bailey. Hey. So I work for Hip Hop for Change.
Joanna goes into her pitch, a one-minute explanation of Hip Hop for Change's programs.
We created an education program, the MC, that's taught over 1,500 kids self-love and self-expression through hip hop. So even a little trans girl can rap about liberation.
And then pops the question.
For funding, we do need all your damn money. Could you, I challenge you to do $50.
I can't do $50.
What can you do?
I'm also poor. Do you have information?
Oh, Bailey's trying to wiggle out of it.
We do have a website.
Okay.
But I love
And it. Joanna is prepared for situations just like this.
Say, for example, someone's like, this is an awesome program, but I can't donate. I'm totally broke. It's like, first you acknowledge, you're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Just do as generously as you can.
This is step one of what's called a response cycle.
So yeah, do as uncomfortably as you can. Where are you from?
Missouri, originally.
So you know about some racial injustice?
Yeah, I do.
Step two, get them to say they care.
This is such an important issue and you want to leave the Bay Area a better place than how you found it.
Yeah, sure.
Step three.
Hit them with some really intense fact.
Power fact.
Something you may not know is that 30% of kids in Oakland have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Step four, come back to the ask.
So, what's the most you can do? I know it's a little bit uncomfortable, but we're doing something no other organization is doing. Could you do
$20? Yeah, I can do $20.
Thank you.
Start to finish, 4.5 minutes.
This is so classic, like how to win friends and influence people.
Yeah, and it works. I ran after Bailey and asked her why she donated. She gave three reasons. She liked Joanna, she feels kind of bad for canvassers, and the personal connection really mattered.
Well, I mentioned that I was from Missouri, so there's, I think, quite a bit of institutional racism in Missouri. I'm always willing to help a cause like that.
This is a recurring theme. The people who donate tend to genuinely care, but they need a skilled nudge from Joanna.
Okay, so it all sounds really nice like this and everything, but I don't know. I just feel like there's a part of what's going on here that's hugely manipulative. Like, yes, of course I want to fight racism, but I'm also not going to stop for you. And yeah, now I feel kind of shitty about that, but I also really resent feeling cornered.
Yeah, and other people feel that way too, but Joanna feels like her work is more important than your awkwardness.
It is uncomfortable asking people for money on the street, yes, but it's also uncomfortable that people are getting killed by racist violence. And it's not, I'm not asking for this money for myself.
Hey, talk to me about fighting racism. 60 seconds.
Next time.
Okay.
Of the hundreds of people she calls out to on any given day, about 25 or 30 will stop to talk. And about half of those will donate. So hitting her quota is essentially a numbers game. She ends up raising $69 by 11:30, beating her first quarter goal. But she's still got a long way to go. And the next few hours do not go well. Even though she's really trying.
Buongiorno.
We're dismantling racism using feminist hip hop. And before you feed your bodies, let me feed your soul. 1 minute.
60 segundos, señora. Hable conmigo sobre justicia social en la comunidad.
I can't help feeling like sorry for people. People seem to be in the midst of like such sadness a lot of the time. It's really bizarre to just like interact with so many people and realize that majority of them are like completely glazed over most of the time. They're out in public, at least.
When it's slow like this, the work has the potential to be a real downer. So Joanna gives herself these little pep talks from time to time.
And I'm not like just a crazy person on the street, which is how people in their indifference can make you feel. Like it's nothing that I'm doing. It's a society that treats honest discourse as suspect. That's all.
Hey, family. Hi.
The pep talks help give her energy, and it starts to pay off. At 3:15, she gets her big fish.
That guy did a monthly. Yeah, that guy who didn't want to get recorded did an $18 monthly.
Hip Hop for Change raises most of its budget this way, and Joanna's one of their top fundraisers. Today was a good day. She yelled out her pitch more than 200 times. I counted. 18 people gave her money. And she made her quota, $185 and then some. But she doesn't call it a day. She's a believer, and she keeps right on pitching.
Hey, talk to me about fighting racism.
Nope.
Okay.
Talk to me about fighting racism.
I am loving it.
So, Raja. You spent 7 hours shadowing Joanna while she works. After all that, did you glean any insights into the human condition?
You know, at some point, I decided I had to find out what all those people who just walk right by her are thinking. And my plan was so simple. All I had to do was get people who had expressed zero interest in stopping to talk to Joanna to stop and talk to me.
I think I see where this is going.
Excuse me, I'm doing a story about street canvassers.
I don't know, I'm just walking for you.
Excuse me. I'm doing a story about street canvassers. Excuse me. I'm doing a story with public radio about street canvassers. All right, that didn't work. So what I found is that this job is really hard.
It was hard? You thought this was hard based on what you saw today? Today was an easy day, rookie.
That was producer Raja Shah and Casey Miner in an episode of The Specialist. That story was sound designed and mixed by Seth Samuel, who also wrote all the music you heard. Hear more episodes of The Specialist at our website, kalw.org. And this is a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and I'm in studio today with Rose Aguilar from KALW's own Your Call. We just listened to the rest of the Canvasser interview. I mean, how? Just how?
That was an amazing story. I mean, that's the thing I have to say. Being at Your Call and KALW for a little more than 10 years, it has been amazing to watch Cross Currents and the newsroom grow and to hear these kinds of pieces mm-hmm. where you just give Joanna the microphone or put the microphone in front of Joanna for a good 15 minutes. I mean, you don't hear that very much. And just the passion that comes out of her voice. And then what really got me about that piece, Hannah, was when she said she kind of feels invisible mm-hmm. in some cases. And I mean, we've seen these changes in the Bay Area where people are on their phones or people don't make eye contact. And I loved the way she expressed those feelings.
Because people are just preoccupied.
Yeah, we're so used to it that sometimes we don't talk about it enough. And it was mm-hmm. just really interesting to hear her perspective. Not only is she standing on a corner asking people
7 hours, 8 hours.
Yeah, for money 200 times.
Right.
But in some cases, people aren't even making eye contact to say hi. Mm-hmm. And these are just amazing everyday stories. And that's why I love the news department and the work you all do.
Well, I mean, she's trying to make social change.
Yeah.
Social change takes action on many different levels, from these canvassers we're talking about to people working at the government level with policy. What about us, Rose? What do you see the media and shows like yours? What's the role you play in movements for social justice? Or do you need 5 hours for this?
No, I think it's so important because we are independent. We are in the community. We have our ear to the ground. We care about what's happening in this community. And I think that that's so important at a time when people are really frustrated with the horse race coverage of the election. Mm-hmm. You don't really learn that much. In fact, sometimes it makes you mad. And I think it's important that we continue to support a station like KALW because we have the independence to really bring on these voices and to talk about these different movements and to talk about struggles, whether it's evictions or people trying to make ends meet, and then to find out what's being done about it. How did we get to this place? So let's talk about policy. You know, on your call, we talk about, well, what happened 40 years ago? What happened, you know, 100 years ago? I mean, we talk about history. So we talk about how we got to this place, and then we can talk about what different groups are doing to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's why I do this every day, because I think things could be a lot better for a lot of people. And that's what keeps me hopeful. I mean, coming every day to talk about so many different ideas and giving people a platform to share their perspectives, and then having this person say, well, I think we should do it that way. And this person say, well, there's a meeting on Tuesday. I mean, it's just the community really coming together
right.
to say, yeah, things can be better.
So you are a journalist. And you also care deeply about many issues. How do you strike a balance? Because, you know, as journalists, we're taught, be objective. how do you balance the objective reporting side of journalism with, this is something I care about, and I am, you know, I believe in one side of this story more than the other. How do you do that?
Well, I always tell young people that I think the more you care about the issue, the better your reporting is. The more you're immersed in a topic, for example, I think the better your reporting is. So riding the bus, I think you learn so many things by doing that. Or, you know, going to different community events. You kind of look around, who's there, what are they talking about? I don't think anybody's objective, and I don't think, I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, for me, it's about, you know, what is happening to our society? Why is there so much inequality? Why is it that people who are working full-time jobs can't make ends meet? Why is it that so many people can't afford an education?
Every morning on Your Call with Rose Aguilar, Real Conversation. And where can that be heard, I wonder, around the Bay Area? Only here at KALW. So give us a call. This is our spring membership campaign. Support this local radio station at 800-525-9917. Make your contribution. Join this. I mean, I consider it a family, really, because what you contribute really creates what we do, and we support each other. We provide you the programming, you provide us the support, and that's basically how it is. So give us a call right now, make a contribution, whatever you can, at 800-525-9917. Again, 800-525-9917. Do it now, get it out of the way so you can kind of relax and listen to the rest of the show with us. I'm here with Rose Aguilar from Your Call, and this is Cross Currents. Let's go into our next story. Activism is woven into the culture of this whole Bay Area, basically. You can't walk around without seeing it everywhere, from graffiti to billboards. And you may have seen posters featuring the names and faces of Mario Woods, Alex Nieto, Mike Brown, among others. They're plastered across building walls, store windows, and telephone poles. The simple black and white posters are meant to honor the lives of unarmed black and brown people who've been killed. And they're made by the Oakland-based artist Ori Original. KLW's Todd Whitney tagged along with him in San Francisco's Mission District for a night of wheat pasting. That's pasting the portraits onto every available surface.
We just finished wheat pasting a poster on a trash can here, and we totally did not notice a police officer walking the street. I was almost about to book it, man. My name is Ori Original, and I'm a visual artist who is originally from Los Angeles, now residing in Oakland. Up until recently, I've been doing more digital designs, specifically with my current project, Justice for Our Lives, which is a portrait series of people that have been killed by police or vigilantes. So tonight we're gonna be walking around the Mission and try to find some spots to repaste some posters. I have some Mike Brown and Eric Garner prints. If a cop sees me, of course I'm gonna run. I'm pretty agile, so I could get away, and I've ran many times in the past, so. I'm thinking of hitting up that light box over there that's on the corner. Usually you would want to start off with applying the wheat paste onto the wall and then pasting the poster on top and then applying the wheat paste on top of it again. What inspired me to work on these designs was the situation that was happening, Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, when George Zimmerman was not found guilty for killing Trayvon. That's sort of the time when the Black Lives Matter movement began. When I did the very first design, I was coming back from the Oscar Grant Memorial that they have at the BART station every year. So I was inspired to do a portrait of his and to just share online. And so I incorporated the Black Lives Matter meme into it. I posted it online and I got a pretty good response. So then I just kept going with more designs. And then all of a sudden I had a series going. Now I'm like up to like 20 something pieces in, and they've either been shown on the internet or on the street or in the classroom, in the gallery. And that's pretty much the intent with this project. It's meant for people to take ownership of. So I want people to know that they're able to use these images whichever way they want, whether if it's in the streets, at protests or demonstrations, or even artistically, like wheat pasting or whatever it may be. So the portraits that I do are very simple. I pull up an image on a Google, so I usually use the more iconic images that are shared of these victims, and I upload it onto Photoshop, and I pretty much trace it. The images that I've been doing are black and white, so I don't add any color or much design to them, and that was so that people would be able to alter these images a lot easier, as opposed to if it was an image that has a lot of layers to it, then it would be a lot more difficult to work with the image. And another reason is because I'm profiling people that have been killed. So these are also our ancestors. And I like to depict that with just black and white. I know that there's people that do have issues with seeing these posters out in the streets, because I've passed by some of the ones that I've posted where people have torn off certain parts of the poster. Like they would take off the black in the part where it says Black Lives Matter. So this is pretty much a similar approach where I'm bringing it to people's faces whether they like it or not. I have met the families of some of the people that I have profiled. The first family that I've met has been of Alex Nieto. Alex Nieto was shot and killed by SFPD while on his way to work. He was a resident of Bernal Heights. He grew up in the neighborhood, I believe. We had a printing party out here in the Mission, and Alex Nieto's parents came unexpectedly, and they were there printing with us. It was kind of surreal to see a mother and a father having to print an image of their dead son. It's something that no parent should ever have to do. Whenever I see people holding up my artwork, like at the Millions March or at other protests, it makes me feel like the work that I'm doing is fulfilling its purpose. I feel that it's the reason why people are using these images is not because of the talent that I'm infusing into these designs, but it's the names of these people and the stories of these people is the reason why people are using these images. These people matter, the people that are being portrayed in these designs. This is my contribution to the movement.
That was Oakland-based artist Ori Original in a story produced by KALW's Todd Whitney. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and today I have as my guest in studio our own Rose Aguilar from KALW's Your Call. And we're talking about the fight for civil rights today. Rose, you had Ori Original on Your Call last week. What was it like talking to him live? What struck you about him?
Well, his work is amazing. I mean, if you've been walking around San Francisco, you see it. Mm-hmm. The photos of the young men and women who've been killed. What really struck me was how this work has affected him. He said that when he first speaks with the families to ask for their permission, that's when it gets really hard. Mm. And I didn't ask him this on the air because I wasn't sure how to frame it or how to say it, but after the show, I said, I really hope you stop drawing these portraits.
That you don't have a reason to do it anymore.
That you don't have to do it anymore. And he said, believe me, so do I. He said, but I think I'm going to keep going if you look at the trends. So that was a little intense. And he's a young man. And what's so amazing about what he does also is that people in the community take his portraits and put them on T-shirts. Mm-hmm. They put them on banners. They put them on posters. I mean, they're everywhere now. And so he feels like as much, you know, it's very difficult work, but it's also having such a profound impact in the community. What I think is amazing about this, Hannah, a lot of these names, these portraits and the names of the people that he's drawn, we don't know their names. Some of the names we know, Trayvon Martin, but there are some Native Americans that he has drawn. And I was just reading about some of these young women. These people would be forgotten if it weren't for his work. Mm. That's the other thing that really got me, because when I was looking at all the portraits on his Facebook page, and then what I like about it is he includes information about who these people are, who they were, what happened to them.
Right.
And I just realized, I mean, they would be forgotten. And now they won't be forgotten because they're portraits. They're on people's T-shirts. They're on posters.
And so this art is bringing awareness.
Completely.
So what role then does this kind of art and other art play in actually not just bringing awareness, but then doing something about it? Like, what does this do?
Well, I think it also creates community because he's coming on our show. This is the thing. It's the artists and the media, mm-hmm. right? He does the work. We bring him on to find out the backstory. And then it starts a dialogue. Or his work was featured at an amazing exhibit at the Yerba Buena Center. Mm-hmm. And so people learned about his work.
It's called Take This Hammer.
Yes, we did a show about it last week. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that starts a dialogue. So, you know, I think that that's what's so amazing about what media and independent media is, that we bring on these artists at a time when they're, you know, the number of outlets are shrinking. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's great about KALW, because we can dedicate an entire hour, like you're doing right now, to activism, movements, and art.
Right. And so on your call, you've taken on, of course, the issue of issues of race, issues of police, public safety. How do you determine how to approach these topics? Is it just something happened, let's talk about it? Or is it more thoughtful of a process? Or how do you determine how to talk about these sensitive issues?
It can be so messy because last year we did a series on police and police violence and community relations. Mm-hmm. And so what we wanted to do was bring on people who are involved who maybe never talk to each other. And I remember hosting some of these shows and just feeling like, where is this going? It was messy. So the show that really stands out for me is we had a Black Lives Matter activist on from, I think, Atlanta. We had on Ron Davis, Jordan Davis's father. Jordan Davis was killed in a parking lot at a gas station in Florida. And a white man pulled up in his truck next to Jordan Davis and his young friends, three black young boys. And the white man shot at their car because he said that their music was too loud. He killed Jordan Davis. Okay, so we had a Ron Davis on, the father. Then we had on Yolanda Williams, who is a police officer, and she used to walk the beat in Hunters Point, Bayview Hunters Point, and she is head of Officers for Justice. So you had on a police officer, a Black Lives Matter activist, and Ron Davis, the father of someone who was killed. I mean, that's the kind of conversation. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know where it was going to go, but we thought, let's try it.
And was it tricky, you know, guiding that conversation then?
Very tricky. But it was great because once they started talking to each other, then it just all happened. Mm. But, you know, we never know what's going to happen. And I distinctly remember some of these shows, and I would tell afterward we'd talk, and I'd say, this stuff is messy, but we have to do it.
Because it's messy.
Yeah.
You can hear all of these shows that Rose Aguilar and her team have done, including the one you just heard about the Black Lives Matter. All of it is online, archived at kalw.org. And that's also where you can go to make a contribution to the station. It's our spring membership campaign. We are taking your donations and contributions. Support Rose Aguilar's team to bring you all the reporting that you're hearing about right now. Go to kalw.org, make a donation, or give us a call at 800-525-9917. I mean, this support goes directly to production. It goes nowhere else. I know there's been David Sedaris and some other people have made fun of our studios and kind of like we're scrappy and the carpet and all of that. Why? Because your donations go not to beautify the station, but
it goes to programming.
It goes to the programming. Yeah. It goes to the production. So give us a call right now and support that. 800-525-9917. What's next for you? Like, why should people be calling right now and supporting the station? Give us a sneak peek.
Well, so it's 75 years. We've been around for that long.
Right.
KALW. I've been hosting Your Call for almost 10 years this August.
Oh my goodness.
I can't believe it's been so long. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing. I mean, we're thinking about how we want to cover the presidential election. What can we do differently? And I think that's another reason why it's so important to support a station like KALW, because we take a different approach to something that's getting a ton of coverage. For example, the primary is coming up in California on June 7th. You have until May 23rd to check your registration or re-register. Now, this, Hana, is so important because a lot of people don't realize that in order to vote for a Republican or a Green presidential candidate, they have to be registered as a Green or a Republican.
And a lot of people don't know these details.
That. If you want to vote for a Dem, you can be no party preference or a Dem. But if you live in San Francisco and you want to vote in the DCCC race, the San Francisco Democratic Council Committee, you have to be a Democrat. You cannot be a Green. You can't be no party preference. Okay, then one more thing. Mm. If you vote by mail and you're no party preference, and you want to vote for a Dem, you will not see their names on your ballot. You have to call in advance or you have to go vote in person. And unfortunately, this information hasn't been getting out.
It's not in the media.
I've been trying on your call.
But it's on this medium.
It is.
KALW.org or 800-525-9917 is the number to call to make a contribution today. Rose Aguilar is giving you the information you need that really isn't out there. So thank you for that, Rose.
Yes. KALW.org, 800-525-9917.
Absolutely. Now let's go back to the show. Let's hear a story from our partners at the San Quentin Prison Report. ACT, or Acting with Compassion and Truth, is a program designed to educate the San Quentin general population about the prison's LGBTQ community. Their motto is, "If you understand us, you won't fear us." Inmates who enroll in the program spend 16 weeks learning about LGBTQ history, and they seek healing, empathy, and understanding. From the San Quentin Prison Report, Lewis A. Scott has the story of the men in ACT.
I've never really known any transgender, any homosexual, or just LGBT people in general. So I've learned how to like appreciate their perspective on life.
The program where he learned this is called ACT. It's the first of its kind within California's prison system.
My name is Sonia Shaw, and I am the outside sponsor of ACT, Acting with Compassion and Truth, which is sponsored by Insight Prison Project.
Shaw says ACT got started when an incarcerated man made a personal revelation.
One of the men inside decided to come out, basically, in the middle of a class and explain his relationship with men. After that process, he approached a transgender prisoner, Jarvis Clark, to think about doing a group or a curriculum.
My name is Jarvis Juvan Clark, and I am one of the founders of ACT.
Jarvis Clark is one of the founding members of ACT. She and Sonia have particular goals for the program.
For me, it's about education. It's about teaching the masses that LGBTs are just like anybody else. We're human. If you prick us, we will bleed. We have feelings and emotions.
I hope to see a dialogue about the spectrum of gender identity, about normalizing people who have various sexual orientations, about talking, real talk about hate crimes, and developing a process for really addressing hate crimes in a very restorative way. And then just a general sense of more understanding that can be built in this community.
Starting a new group at San Quentin requires getting the administration on board. With such a sensitive issue, it was important to bring the warden, community partner management, the chief medical officer, as well as the chief mental health counselor on board.
I think for everyone to feel comfortable, they wanted everyone to be on board.
There has been a stigma throughout the prison system that has promoted discrimination against the LGBTQ community members for years.
My name is John Winham. I've been in prison for 26 years. I was convicted of second-degree murder.
John Winham is a member of ACT.
I used to be dead set against homosexuality, and ACT is a group that teaches us how to be more sensitive towards the transgender, gays, and lesbian, homosexual population.
After taking the class, his ideas have changed.
My opinion is, why worry about it if you ain't sleeping with them? Why worry about who they sleeping with? Because other than that, they're just individuals, they're just people.
Within the African American community, life is hard for most LGBT community members. As an African American man, I could tell you that I've witnessed some of the derogatory remarks made referring to African-American men that were suspected of being gay. This immature behavior discourages most from revealing the fact that they are gay. So during the meetings, the members talk about the spectrum of sexual orientation. Again, here's the founder, Jarvis Clark.
You can be a heterosexual, and if you're a heterosexual, well, how does that heterosexual look? And we compare heterosexuality to all the other genders. Right? And in that, we realize that we're all pretty much the same.
ACT is not just a group that teaches about sexual orientation. It also focuses on compassion. Ultimately, the ACT program is meant to help the participants see each other as people.
I would say, put yourself in our shoes. And what would you do if you were an LGBT? Or if you were in a society that looked down on you and at every turn? Put yourself in my shoes. if the situation was reversed and the whole world was full of LGBTs and heterosexualism wasn't the norm.
Around the country, LGBT communities have made progress to overcome discrimination. This progress is now breaking through the walls of San Quentin. From San Quentin State Prison, I'm Lewis A. Scott for SQPR.
For more stories from the San Quentin Prison Report, go to KALW.org. You're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents. It's a special hour-long edition. I'm Hannah Baba, and here with us today is Rose Aguilar of KALW's Your Call, the call-in show in the morning. Thanks for sticking around with us, Rose. Hearing stories from the San Quentin Prison Report, I see you in studio where you're just kind of nodding your head and then shaking your head and then nodding your head.
Yeah, this feature is amazing. I mean, we all do a lot of things while we're listening to the radio, but when this feature comes on, I usually stop what I'm doing just to listen. And I'm so glad that KALW brings this to the air, because where do you hear these voices? You know, there are other stories that you've done recently, learning to code, talking about hepatitis C, what it takes to survive behind bars. I mean, San Quentin is in our backyard, and most people don't know that much about it. That's why I think the San Quentin Prison Report is just such an incredible addition to KALW.
We're very proud of our partnership with the San Quentin State Prison and this project headed up by KALW's own Leela Day. And we're proud of the reporters in there. They were able to become part of SPJ now, officially, the Society of Professional Journalists.
Wow.
And they won an award also by SPJ of Northern California for their reporting. And so, you know, these stories are nowhere else, truly, but KALW. So give us a call right now and support what we bring to you, what you're hearing on the radio right now. It's our spring membership campaign, and this is a chance for you to say, I enjoy what I'm hearing. I think it's important. I think these are important stories and important voices to hear. So if that's what you think, support this station at 800-525-9917. You can give us a call. Our phone volunteers are waiting to take your call at 800-525-9917.
800-525-9917. Support a show like Cross Currents that has grown. It has been amazing to watch all of the people coming in and out of the newsroom. There's so much excitement over there. And it's great when it comes on at 5 o'clock, because sometimes I know what you're working on and sometimes I don't. And so it's always a treat. And I love it because this is what journalism is about, where you go out into communities and you talk with people about the issues that they care about. Everything from art to prisons. There's just so much. I loved that one piece. I think Olivia may have done it, about where the tents came from.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Was it Liza? Liza Veal.
Okay, sorry, Liza. A great reporting, Liza. So someone called in and said they wanted to know where all of the tents came from. Remember, right under the overpass.
Everybody was seeing.
It was a tent city. And I remember watching it. It grew and grew and grew. And so what do you do as a reporter? You go out into the streets and you start asking questions. She learned that there was a guy who decided to do a GoFundMe page. He raised money to buy the tents. And then the taxi drivers got involved to deliver the tents. That was so interesting, the story behind the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're supporting by calling 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org.
You're supporting this reporting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We just said that. You're supporting this reporting.
That's
right. That can be a thing. 800-525-9917. Rose, you're coming up on your 10-year anniversary hosting Your Call. Do you feel different as a host today than back then?
Yes. Well, I always say that it's practice, right? The more you practice anything, the better you get.
Mm.
So 5 years ago, if a guest didn't show up, I would sort of turn red and say, what am I going to do? I would talk so fast and be nervous. And now, well, they didn't show up. I read her book. Let's open the lines and we'll have a conversation. You have to go live. So yes, things have changed quite a lot. I think just the confidence factor, feeling comfortable, having, you know, you have to really trust yourself because the topics change every single day. So things have changed. I think the show has gotten a lot better just in terms of the wide range of programming that we have on. And we've got an amazing team. I want to give a shout out to Laura Flynn and Malihe Razazan, because as you know, the host tends to get a lot of the credit, but a whole team is behind all of this.
Yes, that's very true.
Yes.
That's very true.
And so you are supporting this dedicated team by calling 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
800-525-9917. Our phone volunteers are waiting for you. You can pick up a gift. But we don't like to talk about the gifts
a whole lot.
We really don't have time. We've promised you that we would keep these short and we would have complete shows uninterrupted. So give us a call, 800-525-9917 right now, or go to kalw.org and tell us why you contribute as well. We'd love to hear from you, what you like, what you think we can improve on. We're always up to listen to that.
Yep.
Communicate with us. We love hearing from you. Give us a call, 800-525-9917 for Cross Currents, for your call.
The music, the arts.
All the music and the arts coverage that you hear on Cross Currents from Jen Chien's Sights and Sounds and the live programming that we have coming out of this station, the Kamau Right Now. Just there's so much going on here, and it all can happen only when you pick up the phone and give us your support to continue to hear the programming that you hear on KALW. 800-525-9917. Keep those calls coming as I say goodbye to Rose Aguilar.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks so much.
All your work. Thanks. And the entire Cross Currents team.
Absolutely. Thank you for your work.
Thank you. And thank you for your support.
Absolutely. This is KALW 91.7 San Francisco.